I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so, Father, we look to you this morning. We look to hear your word for us, your word of comfort and challenge, of assurance and hope. Speak to our hearts and our minds, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do be seated. Following Christ in faith. Faith and trust in politicians of all flavours is rapidly evaporating after tortuous years of debate over leaving the European Union and now seeing the results of this. The political rows over stopping the boats or smashing the gangs, to say nothing of potential tax rises to pay for ever-increasing costs of social services. So where do we put our trust? In who or what can we have faith? Whenever any one of us flies, we exercise faith that the laws of aerodynamics will overcome the law of gravity. If you don't believe that, you don't fly. How much faith and trust do we have in the media, the advertising industry, the labelling of the food that we buy? Is it safe to consume? Is it nutritious? Or is it simply full of additives and sugar and salt and fat? In the church, is truth to be found in a basis of faith or a creed? In a version of the Bible or the right hymn book? Jesus said, "I am the truth." Our faith and trust is in a person, not in words or doctrine. And the confirmation and assurance comes through our personal experience of Christ's presence, guidance, and support through life's ups and downs. We follow Christ in faith. But what is faith? How do we define faith? Well, the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews, in that great chapter on faith that we read the latter part of, begins with these words. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We have faith in the creator of the world, the creator of our lives, and in God's good creation. As Jesus told his listeners, they know the patterns of creation. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain. And it does. When the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. And we know it. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. How is it that you do not know how to interpret the present time? We have the example and testimonies of faith from God's people of old. To these biblical characters, we add those saints that we have known and loved. Their witness gives support to our faith in God's promises and faith in God's love and faith in God's value and purpose for our own lives. All of this comes through Jesus and our understanding of the cross, where God reveals the depth of his love for us, the value he places on our redeemed and restored lives, and the purpose he has for a life lived in following Jesus. This builds through our own lived experience as disciples of Christ. I've gained a great deal of encouragement through writing and reflecting on my own faith story and seeing the ways in which my understanding and trust in God has increased in remembering those experiences. This is part of a project that is recorded in my book Emmaus, which I know quite a number of you already have a copy of, and which I worked on with others, and their accounts of their faith journeys were equally challenging and encouraging, as have been people that I've met here. We are following Christ in faith. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews gives us a long list of faithful servants of God, some whose names are familiar and some who are not even named. Noah, Abraham, and Moses are great heroes of the faith, as are the judges, David and Samuel, and the prophets. But in this list, we also find the foreign prostitute, Rahab, Samson, the very dubious judge who seems to have lived a far from godly life, although he does seem to come good in the end when he's obedient to God. And then there are those imprisoned, tortured, even sawn in half, whose names we don't know. These examples of the heroes of faith show us people like us. Like us, they were flawed. And like us, they failed, as well as succeeding. By faith, they are commended, receive the promise of God. And here comes the real surprise. They are made perfect with us, who follow Christ in faith. Here in Bedfordshire, we remember John Bunyan and his life of faith, imprisoned for his nonconformist beliefs. We can also think of more recent examples like Mother Teresa, who devoted her life to the poor of Kolkata, and when asked in an interview on the BBC about the success of her ministry, she replied with the challenging statement, "God did not call me to be successful, but to be faithful, to follow Christ in faith." Then there are those who stand against injustice, such as Martin Luther King in the United States, who died for his call to recognize that God created all people equal. And Alexei Navalny in Russia more recently, who called for all people to have a voice, to have the freedom of democracy. And he died in prison. Therefore, we are called to keep our eyes on Jesus, living with faith and rejecting anything that stops us from looking to Christ, who is the perfecter of our faith. This is following Christ in faith. But what does living a life of faith mean for us today? We're called to live what we believe, our faith. We live out our faith in our life in the real world, where we find division between those who follow Jesus and those who don't, where there are many who follow false gods of profit, power and control, or of money, pleasure and selfish satisfaction. We are called to be those who interpret the signs of the times. But what difference does our faith make to the way we live? In the liturgy of common worship used by us on many morning services, we recite the following. Summary of the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And that's followed then by prayers of penitence, Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We who follow Christ declare our belief in God, our desire to follow his call on our life, and to seek forgiveness when we fail. But there will always be those who turn their backs on God's message of salvation and the call to live by faith, trusting in Christ and his death for us. Some of those who turn their backs will be in our own families, mother, father, son, daughter-in-law. Of families, Jesus spoke of division of belief. They'll be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, and mother against mother, daughter against mother-in-law, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Well, we seek to demonstrate our love for those in our family. We pray for them. We seek to show them an example of faithful, honest Christian discipleship, warts and all, because of course it is in our own family that our true selves are usually revealed, can't hide there. This then will be following Christ in faith. But what are the signs of the times? Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. Which is Matthew's version of Luke's record of Jesus' words that we read earlier. Matthew writes, "When evening comes, you say, 'It'll be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you can't interpret the signs of the times. Jesus calls us to love God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. The signs of the times are very clear and becoming clearer. We have not cared for our neighbours, nor for God's good creation. The poor get poorer, and the developing nations are struggling with the effects of climate change. In our own country, we see the increasing use of food banks, the growing figures of child poverty, and more people having great difficulty in finding somewhere to live. The signs of the times are there, and they include what arguably is the greatest crisis facing the world, that of climate change, which is demonstrated through rapidly melting polar ice caps, the more intense and more frequent damaging weather events, the floods in Pakistan this week, the wildfires in Spain and Greece, droughts, wildfires, and then the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, which is seeing the greatest amount of bleaching, the dying of the coral reefs that has ever been seen, and the reduction in crop yields throughout the world. There are news stories daily about the effects of climate change, which are surely signs of the times for our world. But even so, governments throughout the world are slow to respond with the radical policies that are required, and many people are not prepared to change their lifestyle. We've seen the failure of the United Nations meeting to discuss an end to plastic misuse, overuse. For Christians, it's a call to respond to God's call to care for creation, to hear the cry of the poor and the cry of the earth, as the late Pope Francis challenged us. We need to hear the prophetic words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Creation groans as it waits for us to behave in a Christ-like manner in denying self, taking up the cross-shaped life of sacrificial love and following Jesus. This is following Christ in faith. And this is our call. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Following Christ and living by faith. This is our challenge, but also our assurance. Thanks be to God. Amen.